The Centre for Stories is a place where stories are told, shared and kept. Roaring 90s is a collection of stories from our elders. This series of stories features the memories of yesteryear, accounts of war, racism, technological triumph, assimilation and social change. These storytellers have lived long lives and plan to live many more. Experience makes us wise and we should take time to listen. Vern Gooch is a survivor of the Holocaust. He and his immediate family were lucky enough to flee Germany and seek refuge in Australia. Vern shares his memories of growing up in Australia.
My name is Vernon Leslie Gooch, but I was born Werner Ludwig Gottschalk. I'm 86 years old, and I was born in Weißenfels in Germany. I came to Australia in 1938. As a six-year-old. And why? Because we're Jewish. That might be enough of an explanation. And my father had already been thrown in jail for telling a joke about Hitler and Goebbels. Okay. So he thought it was about time to get out if he could. My father told a joke which got him thrown in jail in 1936 already. In the long run, he said it was the best joke he ever told because it got him out of the country. It doesn't translate into English, and it wasn't dirty or rude or anything. My father was in his family's department store. He had charge of the whole first floor, which was ladies' wear and fashion stuff generally. He told this rather tame joke to one of his customers. She went home and told her husband because she thought it was very funny. He went to a lodge party meeting that night, told it to all his mates, and within 24 hours my father was in jail. So, as I say, the best joke he ever told. My father had an uncle who came to Australia in 1888 on a sailing ship. And he made the permit for us to come. And there was my mother and father and myself and my grandmother, my paternal grandmother, because she was the sister of the uncle that was here. That's how he was an uncle. And that's the reason why we came to Australia. My mother actually converted from being a Lutheran to Judaism, officially, to marry my father, and left all her family behind, sister and cousins and nephews. But they were Catholics or Lutherans, so they all survived the war. But on my father's side, as I say, they had quite a large department store of the family, and a lot of them got as far as Holland, but then the war caught up to them and they all perished in the concentration camps. They got a pretty good hint that things were happening because this store was already Aryanised, as they call it, in 1936 when it was taken over or taken away from the family and some other family took it over and changed the name on it. It was run by the Nazis.
We asked Vern whether his family was compensated for the department store.
Nope. And it wasn't a small place either. I mean, they employed 150 people, so it was quite a large store.
Vern's family was living contently in Germany until things changed rather dramatically.
We had a permit to leave Germany. Actually, they said if you don't get out in 6 months, you ain't going, but you can't take any money with you. But there was nothing to stop us taking what these days you would call a shipping container, but it was a huge pine box, size of a small container. So the family bought a complete dining room suite, bedroom suite, washing machines, bought 24 pairs of shoes for me in different sizes because they didn't know what they were coming to. and other things that, well, they could sell. For instance, well, my uncle in Germany, my mother's sister's husband, he was an optician and had an optical shop, and he'd done all his training at Carl Zeiss, which is the famous lens and camera people. So we bought 3 Leica cameras with us to sell if necessary. And we were allowed, well, there were 4 of us, and in Australian currency, we were allowed to take the equivalent of £25 each. So we arrived here with £100 and a carton or a big box full of all sorts of stuff.
We asked Vern how his family coped with the move to Australia.
My mother got a job pretty much straight away with a firm called Goodurrant and Murray. They were in William Street in Perth, because she was, and had a big certificate, she hung up, a master milliner, and had done all the right training, and even she and her sister had had a millinery shop. So she got a job as a milliner. And my father had enough forethought that he'd bought a couple of agencies with him that he was, you know, to sell. One of them was from a Sydney firm of dress fabric importers, because that's all he'd handled all his life, was silk and satin and all that. We arrived here on the 17th of July, 1938. But my mother was too good. She knew too much. The woman in charge of the workroom at Goodurrant and Murray, what the English expression I think would be, would white-anted her to the bosses. And so they'd in the meantime made friends with a Jewish guy here who had quite a big frock factory. And he said, well, why don't you open it on your own? He said, my father said, look, I've got £100. An old mother and a kid. He said, oh, I'll get you credit. There's no problem to get supplies. So exactly a year to the day, they opened their own little millinery workroom, my mother and a girl sitting, stitching. Well, the first day I went to school, I was in trouble. I couldn't speak English. And it got to morning. I went to school at Forest Park Primary School, which is in Lord Street, down there, which is now a technical college. And it came to playtime, and I was dying to go to the toilet. But I didn't know how to ask to go to the toilet, so I'm standing in the playground on my own, writhing. And the little girl noticed, must have taken pity on me, because she worked out what it was. She just took my hand and took me to a toilet, which was magnificent. The only thing, I was halfway through my business, and the deputy principal, a female, you filthy little boy, what are you doing in the girls' toilets? End of story.
We asked Vern to talk about his experiences of being a Jewish boy in Western Australia and whether he experienced anti-Semitism.
I only went to school there for a couple of years. And then my parents thought the Japanese had come into the war and they might be coming to Perth, because they were already bombing Darwin. And so they thought, well, it's better to get me out of town in case the bombers come, or things like that. So I was evacuated to the country. And that is another story. As a good little Jewish boy, I went to St. Ildefonsus College. Do you know where St. Ildefonsus College is? New Norcia, where they sent all the bad Catholic kids. And I did strike a bit of anti-Semitism there that I remember from one of the brothers. As a ritual, this is the age of 9 by now, as a ritual every Friday night, he got his big black leather belt out and he beat the shit out of me and I'll pardon the word shit, but it was shit, and saying, I'll teach you to be the right religion. Whack, whack, whack. It made an impression. But again, at that school, I was one of only four Jewish kids there. I had another incident, no, two incidents there. On the first day of my schooling there and my last day. Well, on the first day I arrived there, and in March, week before my birthday, but school had already been going for a month. So I was taken into the headmaster's study. He was a very nice fellow, Brother Ethelred. He took me into his study and sat me down and welcomed me to the school, said all the right things. And he said, now I need some details from you. And he said, what's your name? And I said, Gottschalk, or Gottschalk, as they said here. Yes. And what are your Christian names? And he said, and this little nine-year-old jumped up on this big padded chair he was sitting and said, I haven't got any Christian names, I'm Jewish. So that was my introduction there. But by then I could speak English to the extent that I even won a spelling bee standing in front of the class. But again, my urinary tract came to play. I was standing there on a Saturday morning and I was dying, and I wasn't going to give in as to why they were dropping off on this spelling bee. So I eventually spelt the last word to win it and let go, and I wet my pants in front of the whole class. One of the monks at the monastery, he was into Jewish history and what have you, and he had a lot of Hebrew texts. And I'd gone to the Hebrew school here, which is Sunday school, and I could read Hebrew, but I didn't have the faintest idea of what it meant. But he got me over to the monastery and asked me to read these texts to him, because he could speak the language, but he couldn't read it. So I got good food every now and again. But the great privilege out of that was, in the chapel there, they had a world-famous organ. And in exchange for doing all this reading for him, he let me play the organ, because I was taking piano lessons at the time.
Verne explained that he anglicised his name when he was married. Before then, foreigners were unable to change their name during the war. We asked him whether he was the subject of any suspicion because he was German.
It all started back in 1938, when my parents, we were living in this Hut Street place, and they worked 6 days a week, and on Sunday it was time to do the washing and all this sort of stuff. My father is sitting there in a pair of shorts and a singlet, and this big black car pulled up out the door, and two guys in suits, hats, big heavy boots got out. Kurt Gottschalk? Yes. Come with us. Police. And this is 1938. They dragged him off to Beaufort Street to the police station. And he was taken into a room there, and there was some people. And the guy in charge said to him, I've been talking to the rabbi about you. You apparently are quite an intelligent man and you speak English. We've got a lot of German miners working in Kalgoorlie. We think something's going to happen in Germany very shortly. These miners are all writing letters home all the time, and we want to know what's in the letters. Would you be an interpreter for us? We'll pay you sixpence a page. All my father could think of, sixpence a page means a packet of 10 turf cigarettes. He said, yes, I'll do that. So he got the bundle of letters and translated them, you know, and it was all, oh, darling, I miss you so much and I wish I was there. And anyway, so that went on, and a year later, war was declared. 3rd of September 1939 was a Sunday. It was Father's Day, And again, my parents had been doing the washing. They were sitting out the front, again, having a cup of coffee. And the Black Maria pulled up outside their house. And two policemen got out. Just Kurt Gostchalk, yes, just grabbed him, singlet and chapped him in the back. And there were already about six German Jews, Czechoslovakian, the suspect type people, and took him off to Fremantle Jail. And they got pretty badly treated when they first got there. They stripped all the clothes off them. They hosed them down and then stood them up against the wall and said, "Now don't turn around till you're told." And there's these six or eight guys there. And as my father told it later, he said, "We could hear voices in the background. It was quite a large, long room. But we were told not to turn around, and we weren't going to turn around." And eventually they said, "Turn around." And turned around, and there was a sort of a card table at the other end of this long hall. There was a guy sitting there, and he looked up and he said, "Gostchalk, what the what are you doing up there? I sent for you 3 hours ago. I would need an interpreter."
Verne's father would continue to work for ASIO and serve Australia as a land sergeant. His mother continued working on the family business. Both were strong contributors to the Jewish community in Perth. During this time, Verne finished his schooling and then continued to university.
Went to UWA to study optometry, which was a course run at UWA, but it was run by the Optometrical Registration Board, and you spent it was a 4-year course, and you finished up with a Bachelor of Science degree. But it was part-time because you had to do the first 2 years, 800 hours a year, the last two, 1,000 hours a year of sort of apprenticeship. And the other part of the course was at UWA in Crawley. And the first 2 years was actually learning and doing and making, grinding the lenses and fitting them into the spectacles. And in those days, it was very fashionable rimless glasses where they used to diamond drill little holes in them. And so I spent those 2 years working for the Australian Optical Company, which, as luck would have it, was directly across the road from my parents' millinery workroom on the first floor of Murray Street next to Bowen's. They could look out their window and see into our laboratory where the guys are grinding lenses by hand. And then I spent my final 2 years with Ben Sankin. The Sankin brothers had two optical places. But then I couldn't get a job because the National Health Scheme was starting in England. And all the opticians from over there with their 10 years training, and they were coming to Australia because they wanted to get away from the nationalised scheme. And of course, their British qualifications were recognised here. And so I went to work in the motor business for International Harvesters and Trucks. And they sent me off to a country town just north of New Norcia where I'd gone to school. You've heard of Mora? And I got sent to their agent up there. And I'll cut a long story short, I suppose. To get ahead, I married the boss's daughter. To add insult to injury, having gone to Catholic school and Methodist schools, she was a Church of England Sunday school teacher.
We asked Verne how his marriage led to changing his name and whether his new wife converted to Judaism.
No. Well, I mean, I was a liberal Jewish. That's when I changed the name. We talked about this before we got married. And we said, yeah, you know, we're going to have kids and what have you, and now the war's over and you can do it. So we did a 5-shilling do-it-yourself, fill-in-the-forms, and They just got stamped by some clerk behind the counter. And that's how I became Vernon Leslie Gooch.
Vern has had a good life in Perth, but that didn't stop him from returning to visit his hometown.
Several times. But the first two times I went back, and it was East Germany, Russians and communists. And then the last time was in 2015, where it was all Western and it was all clean and nice. And for instance, the business changed hands again or got a different name. But the interesting thing about the main street where that's on the corner of is now a pedestrian mall. But when my father was there, the main street was called Jew Street, and literally, you know, Judenstrasse. And so when the Nazis came in and anglicised the German businesses, and the street was called Adolf Hitler Street. Then the Russians came in and it changed to Joseph Stalin Street. And now it's changed back to Jew Street. So what goes around comes around, doesn't it?
We hope this series encourages you to record the stories of your elders. If you would like to find out more or to make a donation, head to centreforstories.com. This recording was completed in 2018.